you, Ben and Kim, and all others who led us in worship this morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and locate Mark chapter 4. And in your bulletin, you will find an outline for our study of God's Word this morning. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. We'll read that this passage in just, let's go ahead and read it right now since we have it up there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day when evening was come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus along with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there rose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." The wind died down. It became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Take your outlines and let's look at the perfect storm as we end up chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark. 1 minute, 39 seconds are forever etched in the memory of this present culture today. The first movement began in 1964. It lasted in that first wave about 3 years. And now wave after wave after wave have continued on in our culture, inundating college campuses. It seems that the world is still intrigued by Gilligan's Island. Any of you remember Gilligan's Island? All right. A few of you. That's great. 90 episodes of Gilligan's Island still resonate in our culture. If you don't know what Gilligan's Island is, I encourage you to go home, look it up on the internet, work it into your spiritual journey this week. We're going to build on that in just for a few minutes from our passage this morning. Gilligan's Island was a TV show that came out in 1964, premiered in 63, was on TV for 3 years, 98 episodes. It involved about a half a dozen people who got on a boat, got stuck in a storm, ended up on an island, marooned and shipwrecked, and stuck there. It's supposed to be a comedy. It is so absurd. It's funny. Here's how the show started. I will half sing it. This was worth the price of admission this morning. You please feel free to echo at the right point. I think you'll get it. Just sit right back and hear a tale. A tale of a faithful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers that sailed that day for a 3-hour tour. And my echo? 3 hours. Oh, whew. Yeah, you're with me. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. All right. If not for the courage of this fearless crew, the ship would sink. Those thoughts from that tune do connect with the truths of this book. And this book does connect to your life It connects with you. It connects with me. But here is the complete story. Not just that opening story that arrests our attention, but here's the complete story, the complete picture of life that we all find ourselves involved and immersed in. You see, the crew is not always capable or confident in real life. And let's be honest, not all hands on deck are heroic. And sometimes the fearless crew is not fearless, but fear lots. And sometimes we are fragile and we are on the edge and our confidence peaks and leaks below the waterline of life. And some days the perfect storm is no picnic, and some days the perfect storm collides with imperfect sailors. And the question, now what? And now what will we do? What should we do? Well, let's leave that tropic island of make-believe and come into the reality of life where the ocean is real. And let's get real. And here's the truth that jumps, leaps out of our text this morning. When courage goes overboard, and some days it will in our life, when our courage goes overboard, stay on board with the skipper. Don't jump ship. And also, don't worry about being, don't be obsessively worried about being swept over the side. When courage goes overboard, stay on board with the skipper. And we're not simply talking about a TV show skipper. We're talking about the skipper, and we say it reverently this morning, the skipper of life, the captain of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. 7 verses in Mark 4 can make all the difference in the world for anyone who will embrace their truth. On that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." As we unwrap this text and tear off a few bite-sized chunks, let's look at the sea, the skipper, and the sailors that represent us this morning. The sea, the skipper, and the sailors. Let's look at the sea first. In chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus began to teach again by the sea. It's the Sea of Galilee, and we've unwrapped his teaching over the last couple of weeks, the parable of the soil. Last week, the parable of the bright light, the parable of the sleepless seed, the parable of the mini giant. And now here we are in verse 35. It's the end of the day. Remember all that's been going on. He's taught throughout the day in at least those 4 major presentations. It's the end of the day. He is tired. He is exhausted. There is probably hunger. And he says, "Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee by boat." And they left the crowds in verse 36. And they made their way out on the sea at the direction of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the sea. Galilee was the perfect place for the perfect storm. The perfect place for the perfect storm. And we are reminded the sea is not always calm. This body of water, the Sea of Galilee, is subject to sudden storms due to its location, about 700 feet below sea level, but surrounded by a number of mountain peaks adjacent to the lake. And the cold air would come in off the tops of those hills, would be compressed through some of the gorges around there and go out onto the water, and in just a very short period of time, whip up that water from 0 to about 15-foot waves in just minutes. the sea is not always calm. That particular sea, that body of water, and we bring it over into our lives, our sea, our life is not always calm. As I was doing some research on this, I came across this comment from one of the premier thinkers of today. And as he talked about the Sea of Galilee, listen to his picturesque writing. In a matter of minutes, a placid sea could become a liquid cauldron of convulsions when just the right combinations of atmospheric conditions spun the lake like some giant blender. You ever feel like you're in the blender of life? You don't know how you got there, but it seems like someone just hit the button and it starts out whip, and then it goes to shred, then it goes to puree, then I don't know what else is on those on your mixer or in your blender. Like sometimes life just is spinning around and it just seems to be ratcheting up. Right after that very picturesque writing, about a paragraph or two later, I came across these words. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. So we moved from the blender to Gilligan real quick. But sometimes it's like that. Life is like this giant blender. And we want to hang on, but we don't even know what to hang on to. There seems to be nothing to grasp. This particular event is written about in a couple of different times in the Gospels. And if you look at each of those Gospels, you'll get a little more perspective, a few more details. But with all the lessons and applications in this story, a couple things that we grasp and want to build on this morning. The disciples did everything they could in the moment. I mean, they've listened to Jesus. They've obeyed Jesus. They got in the boat. They made their way out on the water. And all of a sudden, all chaos breaks out. And as you look in these different passages, you find that they did what we would expect in that situation. And we can even read a little into the story. Rowing, doing everything they could sailing-wise, bailing, probably some shouting. I imagine they might have said a few words, not so good. Maybe some blame shifting. It's all your fault. No, it's your fault. But they covered their bases with effort, and you see that. This is an intense moment. Their pulse is racing. It would have been likely off the charts, but their optimism sinks below sea level. They now think, after all their efforts, that there's no hope. They feel as if they're sinking. They give themselves up as lost. With all the lessons in this text, we draw out just a few this morning. And before we look at the skipper a little closer, we are reminded of the sea and the seas of life, the storms of life, and that is that we all live on the water. We all live on the water at times, and at times the seas are heavy with life's troubles. And even as followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot avoid every wave. Some people won't tell you that truth. I will. We can't avoid every wave. We aren't intended to avoid every wave. And for what these disciples, these sailors are going through on this particular day, it is flowing through the hands of a loving, compassionate, all-powerful God. Let's talk about him in just a moment. We cannot avoid every wave. Sometimes the waves are sudden and unexpected. We don't know where they came from. We don't know how we got there, how they got here. But all of a sudden, the reality is they are here. And it does challenge all of us. Where is our sense of security really rooted? Challenging the disciples, but also challenging me, challenging you. Where is our security at this time? Good thing for us to think about this week. Mulan and redirect. Well, we've got the sea. We also have a skipper. Again, respectfully, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have the skipper asleep. Galilee was the perfect place for the perfect nap. This little section is filled with tension. Filled with tension for all of us. The tension is there for a reason. To challenge our thinking. To challenge our confidence. To challenge our peace. Let's look at this tension. Work through it just a bit. Galilee was the perfect place for the perfect nap. Now, most people are not sleeping in this moment, are they? In fact, you get the impression there's a bunch of guys on the edge. Except one. The sea is not always calm, but the skipper is never not calm. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Again, he'd been working, he'd been laboring, he would have been exhausted. But for me, the first read, it seems like, why is he sleeping here? Do you have a little problem with that? Is there a little tension there? This is, I believe, the first mention of Jesus sleeping in the Bible. Please note, it was not during the sermon. But it was in the storm. Sleeping in the storm. What do you think about a God who sleeps in the storm? Wrestle with that. What do you think about a God who seems to be sleeping in your storm? Don't run from the tension. But let the tension take you where the scriptures take us. You know, I said we're going to leave that tropical island. Let's go back there real quick. In that TV show, there was a skipper. Now, the skipper seemed to be a nice, warm, fuzzy kind of guy. Guy that had your back. If you were in trouble, he would be there trying to bail you out of trouble. But it just seemed that there was a little ineptness to him. I mean, he was always getting in funny things and always getting in trouble. It seemed like the life was bigger than him. A bit of ineptness. Inability to handle the situation. What do we really think about God? What do we really think in a practical way about the skipper, about the Lord Jesus Christ? He's this warm kind of guy. He's got our back, but I'm not sure he's really up to the task of running my life. I'm not really sure he can handle it. Now, that's terrible theology. It sounds blasphemous. And it's certainly not accurate. But in reality, don't we sometimes think this? I'm not sure God can handle this. Maybe I better handle it. Maybe I better step in and run with it. The skipper is never not calm, and he is never not involved in what is going on in life. There's been a lot written, mostly negative, about the disciples in this moment in this event. And they certainly do not get everything right. But they do show us some very helpful and positive things. What did they do in the midst of their bailing, frantic, screaming, and interaction? Jesus was in the stern, verse 38, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Again, bring in the other gospels and do a little word study on that word there. It almost sounds like they said, "Oh, Jesus, do you not care?" No, it's a shriek. It is a cry. And we put ourselves in that situation, I think we would grasp. We would let it all out, right? God, I need some perspective. And I need your presence. And that is entirely appropriate. They cry out to Jesus. And it's a reminder for us. When life gets rough, when the waves get high, when we can't even find anything to hold on to, cry out to Jesus. There's a bit of specific suggestion here that they cried out specifically, also that they cried out submissively in this situation, which is good for all of us. I mean, God doesn't need any more information on the situation than we have. He knows everything. But it is good for us to be very specific as we cry out. And also be submissive as we cry out. You know, if we don't know where our next meal is coming from, cry out to God for daily bread. If our health is on the fritz and shaky, cry out with the specifics as we also align ourselves under his perfect will. Cry out to Jesus. In every rough and stormy squall, we should call out to Jesus. A couple of questions that jump out of this text, and they really are the conclusion as well as the introduction, but they run throughout, and that is, who is Jesus? And where is our faith? Who is Jesus? Where is our faith? Who is Jesus? He's the maker of the universe. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 through about verse 17. We'll jump into verse 16. For by Christ all things were created, both in heavens and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Jesus Christ is the maker of the universe. Jesus Christ is the master of the universe. He is the master of creation. And we see here, he is the commander of the seas. And we bring that back into our life. He is the master of our circumstances. He is the commander of our circumstances. And notice with me in verse 39, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, look at those words. You might even want to highlight them or underline them. Hush, be still. Hush, be still. Those are the exact words that he used earlier in Mark when he exorcised a demon. And when he was interacting with demons, hush, be still. And quite literally means put the muzzle on and keep it on. Who is Jesus? He's the one who has complete control and authority over in the supernatural area as well as in the natural area. Over demons, over nature itself. And when Jesus says, be quiet, we see that with the demons, and we see that in this moment, in this time. One moment, 10 to 15 foot waves. The next moment, nothing. Put yourself in that situation. You're bailing, you're screaming, you're crying out, thinking your next breath might be your last breath, and then, boom, nothing. You're just bobbing along without the bob. Not a ripple on the water. And you're looking at the guy next to you, and he's looking at you. You got a little water dripping off your face. And you hear nothing. That is the power and the authority of the commander of the seas. The sea, the skipper, let's look at the sailors. That's us. That's these guys. The sailors, specifically the apostles or the disciples. Galilee was a perfect place for a perfect storm, a perfect place for a perfect nap. A perfect place for a wedding. Say what? A perfect place for a wedding, for a welding of man's frailty, God's power. Man's frailty, God's sovereignty, God's authority. We witness as we look at the life of Jesus Christ. We witness his perfect humanity. We witness his power, his deity as well. The power of Jesus Christ. He slept as a man. He silenced the waves as God. And he connects with you and he connects with me in our storms. The sea is not always calm. The skipper is never not calm. But for sailors, the sailors are not always confident with the wind, within the wind and the waves. How bad, how desperate we are for a capable skipper to help us navigate the seas, for a compassionate skipper who cares about what we're going through, who understands our frailties, who understands our feelings in the moment of crisis, temptation, trial, and troubles, who keeps us on the boat, who pulls us into the boat, who gets us safely home. Remember what we talked about last week? We win as followers of Jesus Christ. The sea, the skipper, the sailors, let's look at three life preservers. Throw out three life preservers with some application, some connection for each of us this morning. Three life preservers that always float. Three life preservers that'll keep you from sinking in the blender of life. Number one. Life preserver number one, every storm bows to the master captain. We've just seen that. With just a word, the sea is calmed. One moment chaos, the next moment calm. Every storm bows to the master captain. There is only one number one in life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we might think, well, that's nice, but why on earth, why in the world would God put his friends, his confidence, these sailors, these disciples through all that? Why allow that? Either from outside forces like Satan or just his own plan. Why would God allow that. Think about who's in the boat. Think about where they're going after this particular boat cruise is over. They're going out to influence the rest of the world to teach and preach the person of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ. These men do not go out without a hands-on knowledge of truth. One of the guys in the boat was a guy named Peter. What does Peter write for our benefit? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening. But to the degree that you have shared the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. It talks about some of the specific trials that they're having because of their faith. But what's he want us to understand? Don't be surprised. Don't be naive that your life has some waves and some ups and downs in it. There is only one number one in life. There's only one sovereign in life. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture reminds us that God is not the author of evil. It also reminds us that nothing catches God by surprise, and no one, no thing outmaneuvers Christ. And I find that very encouraging in my life from outside forces, but also it reminds me that I shouldn't be manipulating and maneuvering life and ministry, nor any of us. We can never outmaneuver Christ. When we are tossed and torn with the blender, we need to make sure our thinking matches up with the teachings of Scripture. And sometimes we need to rethink, which means we need to remember and come back to what the Scriptures tell us, and that is God is always perfectly in control. Trust in God. Hang on for dear life. Bail, but cry out. Life preserver number two. Jesus sets the perfect example we can follow. Jesus sets the perfect example we can follow. Fully God, fully man, united forever in one person, Jesus Christ. He is the perfect combination. He is our perfect example that he calls us to follow. In his humanity, what do we see Jesus doing? Working, laboring, ministering all day, all that teaching. And he ministers to the point of exhaustion. As the role model for each of us about the cause of Christ, we are called to work with passion, to work with energy, to work with sweat, to further the cause of Christ. But we also notice in his humanity, he sleeps without worrying. He sleeps without worrying about what might happen. He's the model for us in understanding that everything is safely in the hands of his Father. So there is a sense, what could go wrong? Now let's get real practical here. You ever stay up at night thinking about what could go wrong? What might happen? Work hard, bail, and row, and communicate, but eventually trust and hang on as we cry out to Jesus. He works to the point of exhaustion. He sleeps without worrying. You know, on the one end, we ask ourselves, do I stay up all night worrying about what might happen? Let's go to the other end of the equation. Do I spend a lot of time thinking about what I might do for God someday when I get around to it, when it's convenient for me? I'll get around to the ministry of my local church when they're big enough for me to be small enough for them. When the church deserves my presence. We don't belong on the boat. But in God's grace and mercy, He brings us onto the boat, out of the storms of life. He keeps us on the boat. He gives us everything we need for the cruise. And He places us next to other people on the boat for their benefit, for our benefit. What a joy it is for the Christian to serve his Savior with other sailors. Life preserver number three. Jesus stays with us in the boat. They cried out for help. All became calm. And they move forward to the next chapter. The next adventure, all building on what they had learned already. Who is this man? Where's my faith? In the midst of all their fickleness, frustration, fear, look at the answer within the question at the end of the text, the disciples. Who then is this? And then they sort of answer it. Who is this guy that the wind and the seas obey? The answer within the question, Jesus Christ is the maker of the universe, the maker of the seas, the master of the seas, the one I want in my boat, the one whose boat I want to be in. Let me jot down this reference, Isaiah 43, verse 1, 2, and 3. We're going to close with that in just a moment. Gilligan's Island ends after the show is all over. The final credits start going through and the song, the same tune, begins to play again with a few little different words. So this is the tale of our castaways. They're here for a long, long time. They'll have to make the best of things. It's an uphill climb. The first mate and the skipper, too, will do their very best to make the others comfortable in the tropic island nest. That's okay for a TV show. We get it. And it's all about, you know, not getting rescued. But, you know, we can let that attitude kind of permeate our Christian life. And kind of like, oh, woe is me. We just have to make the best of things. You know, it's just a icky, dark world out there. And we're just going to try and keep from not going under. And maybe some people can help us, and maybe they can't. We'll just try and hang in there. Or that it's all about us being comfortable in life. You read the text, you find out it's just the opposite. We have someone that we can trust, that can deliver for us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And it's not about our comfortableness or our complacency. It is about, with energy, giving Christ and his work everything we have. Isaiah 43, verse 1, writes primarily or first of all to the nation of Israel. The application comes to us today. But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God. And just a few verses down, he's going to repeat it again. I am with you. I am with you. The message that was drummed into the disciples there on the ship, I am with you. And that makes all the difference in the world. God can be counted on. And God has a work and a ministry for each of us and for all of us together. We are on the winning side. We are more than conquerors. It's not about us. It's about him. So we put the spotlight on him. We throw our energy to the work, and we give him all the glory. There are scads of applications to this passage this morning. As you let the Spirit of God speak to you and instruct you, what is God telling me? There are some areas that are encouraging here. Where do I need to be encouraged? Grab that encouragement. There are also some areas that he kind of grabs us and gives us a little shake and says, kind of need to move forward. Maybe it's our feelings. Maybe it's our thoughts. Maybe it's putting the thoughts to actions. But listen to the Spirit of God. And it, you may be here this morning. You say, I am not on the ship. If I was to die in the next hour, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I've got great news for you. The Bible is crystal clear. The words of Jesus are crystal clear. What he did is pretty clear. He did what you could not do, what I could not do. Being fully God and fully man, he took our penalty. He paid the price. He was our sacrifice on the cross. The complete sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. And what he calls us to do is to come to him, to come in repentance, to come in belief, to accept his gift of salvation, and then with our remaining breaths, to follow him in word, in deed, with our heart. Father, as we have sat under your truth, we find great encouragement. There is a sense that we are speechless as we consider the power of God on full display. As we consider that, we are reminded that along with the power of God comes the love of God and the personal concern and the personal connection that could be ours through Jesus Christ. Lord, may we not lose the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to know the peace of God for all eternity, and also to know the peace of God in the next storm of life. We thank you for the example that you have given to us. May we follow that example in better fashion this week. And as we connect with others, may we be encouraged by their walk with you. And may we also strengthen others in their walk with Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you